That's her brother. He got out of the will of God years ago and moved to Oklahoma. Moving to Oklahoma is a sure sign you're out of the will of God. I was kidding about him getting out of the will of God, okay? So, do pray for them. Man, they've had my daughter, I don't know if they've got electricity today or not, but I know they had a couple of days so far without it. They're in Oklahoma City. Susie's sister and her husband up in Perry, Oklahoma, they were without power, and man, trees breaking and everything, a lot of ice up there, so do remember to pray for those folks. They would like to get out of that situation, all right, and get that situation changed, so I know they would appreciate it. All right, you're there in Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight, and I pray you'd help us tonight as we open the Word of God. And, Lord, speak to every heart. Every one of us here needs to be affected, needs to be touched by the Word of God tonight. And I pray you'd do that, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's become real popular in this day. Have you heard people talking about a bucket list? A bucket list. The first time I heard of that, I thought somebody's feeding the chickens or something. I didn't have any idea what it is, but they talk about a bucket list of things they want to do before they die. So, in other words, it's a list of things you do before you kick the bucket, all right? And a lot of them, and what goes on that list varies from one person to the next. It depends on who you are and, I guess, what you're interested in. Some people want to do things like skydiving. All right? Some folks may want to climb some certain mountain, or if you're really into mountain climbing, you want to climb the seven highest peaks on the seven different continents, that kind of thing. And another person, they want to travel to some maybe specific, maybe exotic location, maybe Europe or somewhere in the South Pacific. People want to go to Paris and climb the Eiffel Tower or that kind of thing. And Then I know people that they want to visit every ball field, every major league ball field in the United States, that kind of thing. And some people want to eat maybe in some well-known restaurant or eat some kind of real exotic food, like chicken and dumplings, good stuff like that. And people have a bucket list of things they want to do. And I don't guess there's anything wrong with something like that unless what you want to do is illegal, immoral, or ungodly, then there is something wrong with it. But, those folks would probably tell you, hey, these are the things that, they are on my heart's desire. That's what I want to do. Well, the Apostle Paul here in chapter 10, verse 1, said, my heart's desire. Now, I want to preach to you a little bit about my heart's desire. I believe God's people ought to have some great spiritual desires, their heart's desire for some spiritual things, not just carnal, not just fleshly, not just physical things, not just some thrill like jumping out of an airplane. I never have understood people want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane when it's going well, some people think that's it. On the other hand, the Bible tells us in Job chapter 21 and verse 14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Now, I don't believe, this is a Wednesday night crowd, I don't believe anybody here is like that, okay? I don't believe anybody here tonight says, Lord, we don't want to have anything to do with your ways. Well, what is your heart's desire? What is your heart's desire? Do you have some spiritual heart's desire? Take your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, would you? Here's the first one I'll mention to you tonight. I believe every child of God, this ought to be on your list, okay? This ought to be on your list. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Bless your heart, if you're saved, I believe there ought to be within you a desire for the word of God. A desire for the word of God. Now, I don't know. I can't answer for you, but I can tell you this. When I got saved, I got interested in reading the Bible. Amen. I got interested in reading the Bible. And I wasn't, 18 years old. I was 9 years old But I got interested in reading the Bible when I got saved. And I began to have a desire to read this book. Hey, if you will, it's really a desire to be fed. A desire to be fed. I want to get something. It's a regular thing at my house. I have a desire to eat. I mean, regular thing. There's numerous times I've been at the table with my wife eating breakfast, and we're finishing breakfast, and I'll say, what's for dinner? I'm already thinking ahead, all right? You have to plan ahead, all right? You say, well, what was wrong with breakfast? Nothing. Not a thing. It was great, but I want to eat again. I know I'm going to be interested. Hey, listen, if you and I are saved, we ought to have a desire for the Word of God. There is something wrong if a person says, I'm saved, and has no desire and has no interest in the Word of God. Now, by the way, the Scripture here says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. It's okay if you want a little meat, too, all right? It's okay if you want to go beyond that milk. The newborn babe, yeah, they can only handle the milk. But, bud, you've been saved a while. You ought to have a desire for some meat of the Word of God. There ought to be something. You ought to have a desire to hear the Word of God. Desire to hear the Word of God. That's why I believe you're here on Wednesday night. It's not because you're sitting here thinking, well, let's just go sing. I love to sing, and I'll endure the preaching because we can sing. I believe you're here because you want to hear from heaven. You want to hear the Word of God. We ought to have that. There ought to be that in us. We ought to have a desire to hear the Word of God. Listen, that's why God's people, there ought to be an interest in being in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. I mean, every time, if there's revival, I want to be there. Why? I want to hear the Word of God. I want to hear the Word of God. There is that desire within me. I not only want to hear it, but I need to hear that. It's within me. That's my heart's desire, not only to hear the Word of God, but to study the Word of God. Yes. Study the Word of God. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, take it home, open up yourself. Read. Just read that book. Hey, if you get an old Scofield Bible, all right. And I, by the way, I'm not pushing Scofield's notes because I think in some places he's wrong. But the one thing about Scofield's note, I mean, one thing about a Scofield Bible, you get in it, and a lot of times you get the first, you look up something that'll talk about a subject, and it's got a center column reference, and it'll give you the first place that's mentioned in the Bible. And so you, and the next one, so you can take it, go back to that first place and study that all the way through the Bible. Now, other Bibles, same way, all right? I think Brother Dunbar likes Thompson Chain, I think. Is that right? Is he like a Thompson Chain? Or used to? Yeah, all right, you do. Somebody does. I know other people do. And they're geared that way. They you can take you through. There are helps in there. Not teach you, but take you from one subject to the next along the way. Can I say this to you? Study your Bible. There ought to be a desire to study the Bible. I want to know what that book says. I want to know what I believe. I want to know why I believe it. And the only way to do it, study, all right? Study. Be willing to open it up, look into it. You ought to have a desire to hear it. You ought to have a desire to study it. You ought to have a desire to know it, to know it. It ought to be within you. Boy, I want to know this book. Memorize the Word of God. Memorize. Say, preacher, I just can't memorize stuff. John 11:35, Jesus wept. You can't remember that? Come on. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In that chapter, there's real hard verses like, rejoice evermore. Quench not the spirit. Hard verses to memorize. Come on, you can do it. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of verses put to music. A lot of verses put to music. If you get you a favorite verse and nobody put it to music, well, make up your own tune. Just make up your own tune. Sing it. Sing it. Man, it's amazing what you can remember if you got a song in there. Just amazing. I've got, when I bought my pickup that I used to have that I just got rid of, when I bought that pickup, it came with that Sirius satellite radio, and I was punching in some oldie stations, and I was amazed that there were songs that I hadn't heard in 40 years at least, longer than that, 45 to 50 years, and I was amazed I could sing right along with them. Man, I could sing right along with those songs, all right? you know, London bridges. Okay, not that. They were there. It was there because, I mean, it had to tune with it. You can remember those things. Listen, if you need to do that, do that. But study the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Listen, folks, saddest thing in the world is people today been saved for years and cannot tell people why they believe what they believe. Can't tell people why you believe what. Listen, I think you ought to have Bible reason why you're a Baptist. You ought to have Bible reason why you're Baptist. So what difference does it make, preacher? Well, it makes a lot of difference. You ought to have a reason for being what you are. You know, my dad always said, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed. Well, I'm a Baptist. He said, why? Because your dad was. Well, that's why I got started being one. But I'm one now because of what the Bible says. And I can show you in the Word of God. Listen, we ought to know that book, okay? Learn that book. Know that book. Know why you're saved. Be able to take somebody to a verse in the Bible that says, here's the verse. This is why I know I'm saved. Right there. Right there. Here's why I believe in eternal security. Right there. Right there. We ought to know those things. Just have it. Know that. There ought to be that desire in you for the Word of God, a desire for the truth of the Word of God. You know, I was talking about it. We listen in these days of campaigns for political office. You never hear so much lies as you do during this time when they're running for office. People get up and they're so selective with the truth. And they don't just bend it, they lie. And they think, nobody's going to hold me to account. Most time they don't. Most time they don't. They're not held to account for it. Hey, but the sad thing is, if you don't know the truth about what this book says, the reason the Mormons are so successful is because so many Christians don't know their Bible. The reason Jehovah's Witnesses are so successful is because so many Christians don't know their Bible. Just plain and simple. And they suck you in. They suck you in. There ought to be a desire. Ought to be a desire for the Word of God. A desire for the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that's not the only thing, all right? It's not the only thing that ought to be your heart's desire. Your heart's desire also would include what's said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Oh, preacher, I am. I'm praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit so I can speak in another tongue. Well, wait a minute. You picked the wrong gift. You picked the wrong gift because that's the one the Bible said is going to cease. It's going to cease. But you know, there's a lot of spiritual gifts. I'm not talking about talent. I'm not talking about physical gifts. A lot of people today, what they desire is finances. Boy, we've got a desire for money. Hey, I'm not talking about that. There ought to be desire in you as a Christian. There ought to be desire in your heart for those gifts that will enable you to be a blessing to somebody else for the cause of Christ. That's what those spiritual gifts are about. That's what they're about, that you can be a gift, that you can bring edification to somebody around you. Oh, not to make your name famous, not to lift you up, not to make you look good. No, it's not about you. It's about the work of God. Lord, I be desiring you, man. Lord, would you help me to have that spiritual gift that I might be a blessing somehow, somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, I believe God's willing to give that to everybody and anybody that'll ask for it. If you'll seek it, you'll desire it. You say, well, I don't have anything. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you got more than you think you do. You ought to have a desire to be something. The Bible even talks about giving to hospitality. You know what that is? Hospitality? I would say it this way. Friendliness, openness, welcoming. Welcoming. Man, that's a good thing. You ever been in a church where nobody spoke to you? I know the church my brother's thinking about because he and I were in it together. Now, he may have been in another one since then, but I'll never forget. We were in the First Baptist Church in a little town in Mississippi one Sunday morning. We're on the way back from Vidalia, Georgia. We'd been there for a funeral for one of my aunts and my dad's sister, and we had to travel on Sunday. We usually tried not to do that, but it worked out where we did. And that Sunday morning, we pulled into town. we found this Baptist church. We went and building was packed. I mean, building was packed. I'm not kidding you. Building was packed. Now, I'm not going to talk about what the preacher didn't preach because he didn't. But we're not going to talk about that. But anyways, the building was packed. And we slid into this pew there and sat down. And the lady that was sitting next to my mom there spoke to her. That was it. That was it. After church, we left. We didn't duck out and run, knock people down, getting out. We went out. Oh, wait a minute. The preacher spoke to us. He shook our hand, said, howdy. That was it. He didn't, I don't guess he recognized us as being visitors. If he did, he didn't say anything about it. But I want to tell you something. Nobody else in that building spoke to us. Not a one. While we were there, my brother wouldn't even speak to me. No, I was kidding. But, nothing was said. Let me say this to you. If I ever am back in that area and that need a place to go to church, it won't be there. And that's been 50 years ago. But I'm not going back there. Because as cold as that place was, they hadn't thawed out yet, all right? I'll go somewhere else. I'll try to find some place that might act like, hey, we're glad you're here, given the hospitality. Hey, you know, it is a bit of a gift to learn how to talk to people and welcome them. Just say, hey, how you doing? We're glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. Glad you came out. Hey, what spiritual gift do you desire? What spiritual gift do you desire? And why is that what you want? Hey, if you want it because it'll make you well known, then forget it. Because they're not given for that purpose. They're given so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. So that you can be an encouragement. So that God can use you. Oh man, desire that spiritual gift. Lord, help me. Help me. Give me something I can use. Maybe to teach. Maybe to teach. Or whatever. Man, just what would God have you do? Seek His will in it, but do you desire anything? Do you desire to do anything for God? Hey, I'm telling you, my heart's desire is what spiritual gift? What spiritual gift? Hey, we're to desire the Word of God. We're to desire spiritual gift. There's something else. Look in Philippians chapter 3, would you? Philippians chapter 3. Boy, I believe this with all my heart, and yet I wonder how many of us, and I'll be honest with you, as I was studying, getting ready to preach this, I began to look at myself and say, how much do you really do this? How much do you really do this? The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that I may know Him. Oh, listen to me. I think there ought to be a desire in the heart of every Christian to know the Lord better. To know the Lord better. Just to know Him. To know Him. Psalmist said it this way in Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Thee. Hey, those of you that are married, remember when you fell in love. Remember when you fell in love and you couldn't get enough of that one you loved? You wanted to be with them all the time. And when you were apart, you were trying to figure out a way to get back together, all right? And if you couldn't be in their presence, you wanted a phone. Now, you younger folks today, you've got a huge advantage because you carry it in your stinking pocket, all right? But man, there was a day when if you talked, it was in the house, attached to the phone. It was by a long cord. If you were lucky, you could drag that cord around the corner into another room. But man, today, everybody, if you got a home line anymore, you just pick it off the receiver and go to a corner room, shut the door, you can shut everybody out. Listen, it didn't used to work that way. When I was dating my wife, well, wait a minute. Your mom and dad were gone by then, weren't they? I was fixing to lie, I think. But when we first started dating, they may have still lived here. And Susie lived with him, and the rule there at 10 o'clock, that's it. That was it. And there was no getting around that rule because the phone was in her mom and dad's bedroom. That's where the phone was. That also crippled Miss Dunn back here, her talking to her friend Cindy, all right? Because at 10 o'clock, the conversation was done, all right? It was over. And you just didn't do it. Hey, how much time, how do we feel about getting to know the Lord? Getting to know Him. Man, who have I on earth, you know, who in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire but beside thee. Just to spend more time in His presence. And how much do you want to spend? How badly do you want to spend time in the presence of God? And how much do you desire that time? Look in your Bible, Job chapter 13, would you? Job chapter 13, interesting verse here. Job chapter 13, if you would. Job chapter 13, and look in verse 3. Job chapter 13, look in verse 3. Job's speaking here, and he's answering one of his friends. And in the midst of it, he says this, "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God." I desire to reason with God. You know, we talk about Adam and Eve, and we talk about what a privilege it was that they had every day. The Bible said in the cool of the day, the Lord would show up and walk with them in the garden. His literal presence every day, every day. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Who comes to your house every day at that time? Let's just pick a time. 7:30. Somebody came to your house every day at 7:30. Now be honest. How long would it take you to say, "I wish they wouldn't show up tomorrow"? Come on. Most of us, it wouldn't be one of those deals that say, "Man, we just love you. We're so glad you're here." That'd be okay for the first week. Maybe through the second. But that third week, it began to wear on you. The fourth week, you'd be somewhere else at 7:30, all right? You say, "I'm not going to be there." You say, "But preacher, wait a minute. If it was the Lord..." Well, wait a minute. Are you sure? Are you sure? You sure about that? "Oh, that I may know Him. That I could reason with Him." Oh, to have the opportunity to reason with God. Now, wait a minute. Not for you to tell Him, but help you as you reason with God. Just to talk with Him. To know Him. We say that I may know Him. But we get to that fellowship of His sufferings. We say, let's skip that part. I don't want that suffering. But sometimes it takes that. That I may know Him. Look, there ought to be a desire in you for communion with God. Spending time with Him. Spending time with Him. Go back to Romans 10, would you? Romans chapter 10. I want you to notice again, we just got part of it there with the Apostle Paul. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Hey, you know what? I believe if you're saved, there ought to be a desire in you to see the lost saved. There ought to be a desire in you to see the lost saved. Now, wait a minute. Why was Paul so focused on Israel, all right? Why was he so focused on them? Why did he say them? Well, they were his people. He was a Jew. What he's saying is, hey, these are my family. I'm concerned about them. And by the way, I believe that's the first people you ought to want have a desire to see saved, your family. Your family. Hey, mom, dad, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, children, you know, the family, the extended family. Man, they ought to be desiring you to see them saved. Oh, if I could just see those people get saved. I'm praying. I want my grandkids to get saved. I want to see that. I want them to trust the Lord. I want them to do it at a young age. I want them to do it. Man, my heart's desire, what? I want to see people get saved. You said family first? Yep, and I don't make any bones about it. I'm like Brother Gary Way. Brother Gary Way, we support him as a missionary. I'll never forget him saying one time, he said, I've told you before, the whole world can go to hell, but my family's not. He said, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them out of hell. Now, he didn't just stop with them, but the idea was, I want my family saved. Hey, I want my family saved. You know what? I want my friends. My friends. Those are people you love. You ought to have a desire to see them saved. You ought to have a desire. There ought to be a desire in your heart to see them saved. You ought to be willing to talk to them about the Lord. And could I just, we could park here for a long time, but I believe you ought to want to see your family, your friends, but I believe there ought to be a desire in your heart to see folks out there in the world get saved. Just to see people saved. What a joy it is. I don't know about you, but man, I still like seeing people walk the aisle and get saved. I still like to see people walk down and get saved. Now, I enjoy having the opportunity out knocking doors, witnessing to people, and see people trust the Lord as their Savior. Wonderful thing. I care about them. I want people to go to heaven. I don't know of anybody I know of that I want them to go to hell. Not on your life. There ought to be a desire for that. There ought to be a desire for that. Your heart's desire. Your heart's desire. Let's go on to the last thing, all right? Look over in Philippians chapter 1. I want you to forget Philippians chapter 1 in one hand there, if you would. And then I want you to take the other one back to Hebrews chapter 11. All right? Hebrews chapter 11 and Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 will be there first. Then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Because I believe this ought to be a desire you and I have too. I believe it ought to be there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. It's a famous quote from Paul. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I've got a desire to depart this life. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 16, really, he says, but now they desire a better country. A better country. Hey, listen, it's not on another continent. It's not, you know, in another hemisphere. It's not another state. It's out of this world. They were looking for a better country. I want to say this to you. I believe there ought to be a desire in the heart of a child of God for heaven. I believe there ought to be a desire for heaven. Now, I'm not meaning that you need to hate this life. I'll be honest, I enjoy living. I enjoy living here. I still love the joy and the blessings of life here. They're wonderful things. There's family here. There's friends here. There's you folks that are church family. I love that, man. I enjoy it immensely. But at the same time, I'm going to tell you something. There's a tug within me to go be with our Lord and Savior. There is a desire to depart this life. I'm longing for home, man. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Said, I want to depart to be with the Lord. I've got a desire there. A desire to depart this life, a desire, if you will, for a better country. Oh, yeah, that better country where there's no suffering, where there's no sorrow, there's no temptation, there's no pain, there's no death, there's no more parting. Oh, yeah, there ought to be a desire on the part of the child of God for heaven. But at the same time, we ought to realize that's God's business when we go. It's His business when we go. But you know what? The last prayer in the Bible, you know what it is? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Man, you know, I'm the songwriter said, I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been. But I'm looking forward to that country. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. We sing about it in songbook a lot. We sing songs about heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Yep, I want to go. I want to ask you tonight, what's your heart's desire? Would you go back to our text one last time? Would you go back there? What is your heart's desire? Paul said it this way. He said, my heart's desire. Well, wait a minute. Do you see what he said after that? My heart's desire, and then he said, and prayer to God. Those two things go together. Our heart's desire and our prayer ought to go together. There ought to be some prayer put with that desire. I said you ought to desire the Word of God, then you ought to pray, God, help me to get it. Help me to understand it. As I read the Bible, as I hear it preached, as I hear it taught, would you help me to understand it? Lord, would you help me to hold on to it? There ought to be some prayer with that desire. There ought to be some prayer with that desire. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, that desire for spiritual gifts ought to be a prayer that said, Lord, would you help me? Lord, help me to know what the best gift is, and that's the one to covet. And Lord, I ask you to help me to have that I could use it for you. We talk about desiring to spend the time with God, but why don't you pray, Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to know you? Would you help me to know you? I have a desire to see my family saved. How much you pray for them? Your friends, the lost world, how much prayer do you put into that? How much prayer you put into it? And my friend, I guarantee you, I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with praying. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Man, I'm ready for it. I'd love to hear the trump of God sound. I would just, boy, if it'd sound and we'd rise out of here to meet him, it doesn't matter who wins the election next week. Doesn't matter who wins. Not a bit. Not a bit. All the junk that I've managed to collect in 66 years of living, anybody that wants it, you can have it. At the rapture. If you try to take it before then, I will shoot you. All right? But after that, you're welcome to it. You're welcome to it. I mean, really, just, Lord, come ahead. Come on. Lord, pray that way. Pray that way. Ought to be some prayer to put with that desire. That we'd pray, plead with him that desire might come to pass. You know, you want to know him. Well, what better way to know him? Spend some time praying to him, talking to him. Oh, listen, what's your heart's desire tonight? What is it? What is it? Would you bow your head tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, I'm not going to have the instruments come. I'm not going to have them play. I'm not going to sing a verse of invitation, but I want you to spend a little time. How about your heart's desire? What is it? Well, I want to go skydiving. Surely, there's more to life than that. What do you have a desire for the things of God? What do you want to do for him? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us to have the right kind of desire? Would you help us, Lord, to be spiritual people, not just carnal, not just tuned into the things of the world, Lord, that we might be focused on you, that we'd desire some good things. We'd desire the Word of God. We'd desire a spiritual gift. Lord, we'd desire to know you and to commune with you regularly. Lord, that we'd desire to see people saved. That, Lord, our family and our friends and our fellow human beings might get to know you. And Lord, would you stir us about leading people to you, about being the witness you want us to be. Oh God, help us that what we desire would be what you desire. Go with us now, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.